Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Aaron Dolan here on a Wednesday morning as we crack into hour number two. It is time to talk about what we saw last night in the NBA. That's right, we made you wait all the way until hour two, but there's a lot to get into, including a really fun board tonight in which we're going to be handicapping the first Lakers game that doesn't have LeBron James in it. He's going to be sitting out in a back-to-back against the Kings, but we start by recapping a game that did feature LeBron James, and that was the Lakers and the Suns throwing it down in a big matchup between a couple of the top teams in the West. LeBron was great in this game, 38 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and 38 minutes of work, was a plus 2, but that was not enough as the Phoenix Suns win in the Staples Center, 114-104, and you got to give them a world of credit because midway through the third quarter, Devin Booker was tossed out of this game. Double tax. Boy, do refs these days have some fragile egos. Goodness me. They don't like the way you bounce a basketball. You're getting tossed out of these games. And they only got 24 minutes of action out of Devin Booker. He was a team-high plus 13. He was 7 of 12 from the floor. He was incredible. And they still won despite that. Now, that's because of some incredible three-point shooting for the Phoenix Suns. 16 of 29. Mikal Bridges was 3 of 6. Cam Johnson was 3 of 4. Jay Crowder was 4 of 5. They got 21 points off the bench from Dario Saric. It was a great win for the Phoenix Suns. Ultimately, for the Lakers, they were underdogs in this game, which is surprising. Underdogs for them in the Staples Center, but that's because they were without Marc Gasol, out Kyle Kuzma, of course, still missing Anthony Davis. So that was going to make things a little bit difficult on the Lakers. Look, no harm, no foul. They still sit there, though, right now, they're not even second in the West anymore. Phoenix is second in the West. Look, you got to give Phoenix a world of credit. Okay, this Phoenix Suns team has just been playing great basketball. They win at home. They win on the road. They're 12-5 outside of Phoenix this year. And they have a lot of pieces, as we've talked about Utah so much. And again, deservingly so. This is a Phoenix team that has a guy like Devin Booker that is on that same tier, in my eyes, as a Donovan Mitchell. No, they don't have Rudy Gobert, who's a defensive player of the year, and, you know, typically gives that Jazz team the floor of a top five defense, but they've got Chris Paul. And Chris Paul allows the Suns to be competitive on both sides of the basketball, 10 assists in this game. And that's the thing about CP3, and he's been doing this forever. He doesn't need to light it up and score a ton of points to have a massive impact, but he can close games if necessary. This is probably the best win of the season for the Suns. Even if Anthony Davis wasn't there, or Kuzma, or Gasol, to have Devin Booker tossed out of that game, and when he was tossed out, it was a four-point game. At no point did the Lakers lead. At no point. So to never relinquish that was incredibly impressive. The Phoenix Suns right now and their odds to win the Western Conference is something I'm sure a lot of people are staring at. 19-1, the fifth best odds in the West. As we bring our radio audience into the fold, we appreciate everybody that's listening to us on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. Kevin Walsh and Aaron Dolan will be hopping right back here in just a moment, talking a little bit about the happenings in yesterday's NBA board. And we got to talk about the Celtics and the Clippers. And listen, it's a good win for Boston. I will give Boston their credit in a moment. But yesterday, okay, we talked a little bit about liking the Clips, bouncing back, avoiding a second straight loss, Boston possibly without Jalen Brown, and the Clippers, you know, getting Paul George back and Kawhi, of course. And Jalen Brown ended up playing. And this spread still closed +5 for Boston. And that was a number that, you know, I started to almost change my opinion throughout the day. Well, I'll tell you what, I would have flipped my opinion had I known that Kawhi Leonard was going to get yanked from this game 5 minutes before tip. All of a sudden, what are they, finishing up the national anthem, and Doc Rivers hands the lineup card in? Reggie Jackson will start ahead of Kawhi Leonard tonight. Hey, listen, he's not starting ahead of Kawhi Leonard. He's not starting in front of Kawhi. I mean, something's wrong with Kawhi. All of a sudden, back spasms. Kawhi pulled this last year in a game against the Sacramento Kings on a Sunday afternoon. I remember it well because I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it then, and I can't believe it now. Listen, you need a rest. That's fine. I'm someone that's very lenient on the whole Kawhi rest stuff because I don't think that guy's healthy enough to play back-to-backs or a full 82. It's part of the reason that ultimately I still don't know if the Clippers will be able to win a title, because Kawhi is so beaten down by the time you grind it out through the postseason. But there's too many partnerships now between these leagues and between betting associates to stick us with the most important player in this game being absent 3 minutes before tip. We got to get these lineups in an hour before or something. It's unbelievable, because people would have loved the Boston Celtics yesterday and they end up winning as dogs. This game would have been a pick 'em. Okay, if not, maybe Boston -2. Had we known that Kawhi Leonard was going to be out of it. A great win, though, for the Boston Celtics. They get themselves back above 500. The Clippers now fourth in the Western Conference. We take a break. We come back, talk a little bit about a huge win for the Denver Nuggets, and get you set up for tonight's NBA board right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh with you guys as we are following the action that we're going to be getting you set up for. But I also still want to talk about a couple of things that we saw last night in the NBA, because I got to give the Denver Nuggets a world of credit. They go into Milwaukee, leg two of a back-to-back, and roll the Milwaukee Bucks. Roll them. 128-97. Look, the Bucks have had some losses, but 31 in their own building is not what we've seen from them. The Denver Nuggets, despite all their struggles, they're only a game back of the Bucks. I know they're not chasing the Bucks there in the West, East. I get that. But Milwaukee is a team that, even despite their struggles, I feel like we're like, oh, they're pretty solid. Denver doesn't have that same connotation. give the Denver Nuggets a ton of credit. Nikola Jokic continuing to strengthen that MVP case. 37 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, a plus 18 was sensational in this game. Another 24 for Jamal Murray, a nicely, pretty efficient night from him as well. 10 of 17. This is the type of run the Nuggets find themselves on where these Jokic MVP tickets will start to feel like they have a lot more life behind them. Jokic is 5-1. I said this a while back, guys. This is a three-horse race, okay? This is LeBron, Embiid, Jokic. You can try and get some CLV on the, you know, Lillards and Kawhis of the world or Hardens. One of these three guys, LeBron, Embiid, or Jokic, is going to win this award. And Jokic, despite them sitting seventh in the West, has still put up the kind of performances that has kept them in the conversation. And they now find themselves with the same exact record, or at least the same games back, of the San Antonio Spurs. Not the same record, because everybody's played a whole bunch of different games. The difficult thing for me still, I don't know if Jokic can win this award without being top four in the West. And now you look at the top four in the West, the Clippers and the Lakers, and there's a three-game gap between those two squads and Denver, and those two squads now sit 3-4. If Utah and Phoenix continue to rip off wins like they have, you know, at least above 65% clip, you know, the Suns right now winning 68% of their games and the Jazz winning 77% of their games, if they continue to do that and Jokic doesn't get himself to a top four spot in the West, and I think he really is going to struggle to win this award. Quickly on the Milwaukee Bucks, who are trying to apply some pressure to the Sixers for that number one spot in the East. And by the way, we talked about this as it pertained to the West, the value of Utah being the one and forcing the Lakers and Clippers to play themselves in the 2-3. Well, now that's changed a little bit because Phoenix is up there. If the season ended today, Utah would draw the Clippers in round two. So that could obviously be ever-changing. But with the way things are tiered in the East, with Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, it would be pretty surprising if that's not your 1-3 in some order. Meaning, if you're Philly and you get to continue to hold serve here, you'll force Brooklyn and Milwaukee to play each other in round two. And of course, that could be very important. And also, you know, at the moment, the 7 seed is Miami. That's not great for Brooklyn. The 6 seed is Toronto. That's not great for Milwaukee. The Sixers would play the Hornets if the season ended today. So those standings will matter. But as the season grows on, of course, that stuff will only grow in importance. Quickly, the other games that we had on the board, Spurs get the job done as home dogs to the Knicks. Look, the Knicks have now, over this little run that they've been on, they've popped up as road favorites twice. They've been absolutely slammed, okay? San Antonio, leg two of a back-to-back, beat this team by 26 points, and then they went into Orlando as road favorites, and they lost that game by 18 points. If you see the Knicks, okay, if you see the Knicks as a road favorite, you absolutely need to be fading that you just we're not in a point yet where the Knicks need to be laying points on the road. We did also talk about that game kind of probably being enticing from the Knicks' sides. The fact that they closed as favorites was pretty wild. We also had a tight one. We talked about this a lot. Could it have been a trap here? Memphis, Washington. Why was Memphis laying that point? Clearly, it was the right side. They beat Washington, buck 25 to 111. Ja Morant, what an awesome 35 points and 10 assists in that game. Best player on the court, and that's saying something, with Beal and Westbrook on the other side of the floor. It's a great win for Memphis. Gets their head above waters. They are now above 500. As we talk about the Nuggets of the world and the Mavericks of the world and the Pelicans, Memphis still finds themselves in the conversation for a top 10 spot, currently holding on to the 9th spot in that Western Conference. Memphis last year losing the play-in game to the Portland Trailblazers. We know they're going to look to bounce back. They're playing some better basketball right now in Memphis. They've won 2 in a row, 6 of their last 10, and they're going to see how they can continue to trend. I think that's an impressive win for them. Final game that we saw yesterday. Oh, boy. 94-80. 94-80. Listen, a lot of takes. You give a lot of takes on these shows. You know, occasionally, you know, he wouldn't mind if they scrub the tapes. I think I said I wouldn't mind an overplay in this game. All right. Oh, that didn't work out. 174 points. Neither team gets to 95. I thought that Atlanta would respond with a poor offensive game, and Nate McMillan would try and push the right buttons to get this team to go out there and play a little more high-scoring basketball. That was not the case. Now, a lot of this has to do with Miami. Let me put a pin in Atlanta for a second, okay? For Miami, no Jimmy Butler. You lose what was a six-game win streak. You're not going to go crazy over this. We're not going to throw our hands. Oh, no, we've blown everything we worked for. No. But you now are back below 500 for the Miami Heat in the second half. You want to come out on another strong run and clear that 500 barrier and not look back. Okay, we'll sweep this under the rug. 80 points against Atlanta is unspeakable, but we'll sweep it under the rug. No problem. Here's the thing I want to put a pin on with Atlanta, okay? And I give, and again, of the morning after, Jared Smith, it was an angle that he had approached with the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I just thought was an interesting way. It can take a leap of faith to do this. It's not guaranteed to be more than just a one-game sample size, but when the Minnesota Timberwolves made a change at head coach, and that first game with Chris Finch under the helm, they had played to a soaring over. He said, you know what? This could be a change in pace and style for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the overs could be the play. Now, the Timberwolves have cashed those over tickets in three of the four games under Finch. Perhaps, and again, it could take a leap of faith, perhaps the under with the Hawks under Nate McMillan could be the way to play it. Could very well be a matchup thing, okay? Atlanta just played the Heat, you know, 3 days before, and that game was a dead under as well, hardly crossing the 200-point barrier. Could very well be a matchup thing. Could just be tired legs ready to get to the All-Star break. It could be all of that. But maybe it's something to watch with Nate McMillan. Now, that wraps up what we had on yesterday's card. Excited to talk about today's card, and we've got what is one of my favorite lines of the season, the Sacramento Kings laying points to the LA Lakers. I mean, that is awesome. That's great. The Kings are terrible, guys. I mean, they're terrible. So bad. And they're laying 3.5 to the defending champions? Well, that's what happens when both LeBron and Anthony Davis, of course, still AD, you knew that, but LeBron's going to be sitting out his first game of the season. I'll say this, okay, and I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to run to the window here in the Kings. They just lost at home to Charlotte. Like, this is still, I believe, we'll see who is fully available for the Lakers. I think this is still a winnable game for the Lakers. And the points props, though, this should be Montrezl Harrell's moment. Montrezl Harrell should go out there for the Lakers and be a leading scorer in the same way that he would do when the Clippers would be without Kawhi and without PG. Yesterday, Harrell got the start. Lackluster performance. I think Montrezl Harrell is someone to watch in the points props market. We take a break. We come back. Let's fly through a Wednesday NBA board right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the grid, the Early Line. Kevin Walsh, Aaron Dolan, hopefully will be back with us. She did a great job in hour number one. Look, technical difficulties. It's the world we live in, no doubt about it. But she's done a great job. We got her back. Awesome. Cam Stewart will be up and at him, though. We're going to talk a little bit about the Arnold Palmer Invitational shortly here. But we still got some great NBA games that we have the opportunity to talk about. And an awesome throwdown between the two teams that are at the top of their conference playing in Utah and Philly. In Philly, Utah is a favorite. Now that, okay, that's a little bit too much for me. Tobias Harris probably going to miss this game. Is that why? But even still, Tobias Harris, is he worth 3 points to a point spread? I don't think so. This feels a bridge too far. is a Philadelphia 76ers squad that is a perfect 2-0 as a home underdog against the spread. First spot was, I believe, against the Lakers. The second spot, and they beat the Lakers by one. I think it was 107-106, if I remember correctly. Lakers had a great comeback there. That would have been a sweet win for them. The other was a cover in the Tyrese Maxey game where they were home with only seven players, and the Denver Nuggets came into town. They were laying like 13.5. Obviously, that was kind of a weird one. Now, I know that Utah is still playing. Look, they're not playing the same, okay? They have lost half of their last six games. They're 3-3 over the last six, 3-3 against the spread in those games. The wins they've covered, of course, their losses unable to cover in any of those. I cannot help but get excited about Ben Simmons in this matchup, playing the team that he put a 40 spot up on. That's very, very exciting to me. We don't have these player props just yet again for Philly because there's some uncertainty around whether or not Tobias Harris is going to be available. But this is a game where I have to back the Philadelphia 76ers. I just absolutely have to here. I do not think that Utah has found them. I'm not high enough on Utah to have them as road favorites in Philly. Not for me. Again, this is a team that's lost three games in this building all season long. One of them just thought would just throw out, okay? Just throw it out, the COVID game. And they still covered, by the way, right? The second, the Lillard-less Blazers. And then the third was the Cavs. So they've had a couple of games asleep at the wheel. But any team that's come in here that deserved their attention has gotten their attention and walked away a loser. So I think Philly catching three in their own building is the way that I'm going to look to play this one. I know, and I don't want to be silly enough to be like, oh, like, remember when Utah laid those almost double digits to the Lakers? And it's like, oh, Utah can't lay double digits to the Lakers, and then they just absolutely rolled them. I don't want to say that Utah can't be laying points, you know, on the road to Philly in a way that's disparaging to the Jazz. It's more about wanting to back this Sixer squad. We don't have a total just yet, but I would be interested in how they're going to post this number up. We've got the Jazz that have played three straight overs, four of their last five really high-scoring basketball games as well. 124-116 in the loss to Miami, 124-109 in the victory over Orlando, and then 129-124 in that loss to New Orleans. You've also got a Sixers squad that played a really high-scoring affair with Indiana just the other day, 130-114. I'm not really positive where they're going to be posting this number at. I would think the mid-220s. If it's the 230s, I would likely be passing, but that mid-220 range I think could be appetizing as it pertains to Jazz Sixers. We move on throughout this board, and the Houston Rockets are going to be hosting the Brooklyn Nets. This is obviously an exciting game. I mean, come on. James Harden returns to Houston. His points prop is 28.5, juice to the over at minus 138. And this is going to be a very popular play. Remember when the Chiefs played the Jets and Le'Veon Bell as a backup running back was like, you know, even money to score a touchdown despite the fact that he never touched the ball and then he didn't actually score because he was a backup running back? Now, that's not the situation we're dealing with here. We're dealing with one of the best players in the NBA in James Harden, who has been on an incredible run, just playing such good basketball, put up 30 in the win against San Antonio. They did need overtime to get there. I would say Harden is not, you know, flying over this 28.5 number with regularity. So I think you will have to be cautious when it comes to a number like this. You're probably seeing this number juiced up a little bit for the circumstances. You also have to remember, guys, the Rockets are entering this game losers of 12 consecutive. There's a world in which James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets roll. In fact, it's probably likely they roll Houston, and he's not out there for the fourth quarter. And a blowout, of course, will crush any chance that you would have of covering or getting the over, you know, where you need a guy to basically score 30 points. The Rockets on the season are 1-6 against the spread as a home underdog. You've got a Nets team that has won and covered 9 of their last 10 basketball games. This is one for me where, even though it's a big number, I think you get such a motivated squad here in Brooklyn that I would lean towards laying this 9 in a hook. And because I don't really, the thing is, the guys that are left there in Houston are so demoralized right now. Oladipo could care less about James Harden being annoyed. All right, yeah, you'll probably get an inspired John Wall performance. But what do you think? Jay Sean Tate's got hard feelings. Christian Wood's not even out there. Boogie's gone. Like, what, you know, like Steven Silas is going to drop the best game plan of all time and do what? So I think this is a good spot here for Brooklyn to try and stretch their muscle. I would be interested, though, in some first quarter and first half with Brooklyn, trying to lay a lighter number and just see how inspired they do come out from the early goings. Also, eyes on this total because it's the Brooklyn Nets and, of course, everybody's favorite over bet. But Brooklyn had gone under in 4 of their last 5 games before San Antonio and only cashed an over because of overtime. I was on it. That's why DeJounte Murray was yesterday's hero of the night. The Rockets, 12 of their 14 home games have gone under. 4 of their last 5 games have gone under. This could be the lowest Brooklyn Nets total we have seen since, man, all year long. Could this total actually be below 225? Again, that's huge for the Nets. And I think it could be, and it could very well still be a play to the under. Now, I know it's probably tough to get to the window on the Nets and a game on the under, but it will be with good reason. Again, the Rockets, 12 of 14 home games have cash under. Let's keep flying through this board, though, as we continue to set the deck here. Another fun night game with the Dubs and the Blazers. Golden State laying a point in Portland. The Portland Trail Blazers coming off of a nice win and cover against the Charlotte Hornets. The Warriors, a long break for them. They've not played since Sunday, and they probably needed a while to lick those wounds after the Lakers absolutely dominated them. I mean, they obliterated that squad. Now, again, I guess we get some answers here, though, because I remember feeling as if it was a little surprising to see the Lakers lay 5 to Portland and then follow it up Sunday laying 3 to Golden State. Well, clearly the power ratings here do believe that the Warriors are just a better team than the Portland Trailblazers. I'm not sure I entirely agree. Now, I know this. Of all the guys that have, you know, a beef with the Golden State Warriors and their run, and Steph spoke about this the other day after they got their doors blown off. He was like, yeah, we got to remember there's a lot of people that want to beat up on us and beat us bad if the opportunity presents itself. And I don't think that's entirely wrong. You know, the guy, LeBron, of course, is the main one that has that association because of all the battles in the finals. Russell Westbrook will always have that association because he was left there, you know, with his hat in his hand in Oklahoma City, as Kevin Durant said, peace out. I feel as if Lillard, though, might be just that third guy. I mean, Dame went out there, played the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals the year before they went on to go to play the Raptors and lose to the Raptors, and the Dubs swept Portland, despite the Blazers being wildly competitive in all of those games. Everybody knows Damian Lillard from the Bay Area. He's always up for those kind of performances. I love Steph versus Dame, Steph versus Dame, Steph versus Dame. I think that's great. Man, I still hesitate here, though, on a Golden State squad laying points in Portland. That is, man, that is surprising to me. Again, it's only a point, only a point. Wouldn't surprise me if by the time people end up to the window here later on in the day, it wouldn't surprise me if it's come around and people are starting to back Portland. Let's keep moving through this board. A lot of games here on this slate. I want to bring up the game between the Mavs and the Thunder. You got Dallas laying 6.5 to OKC. And this is the kind of game that fits double-up trends that both Aaron and I have talked about a lot here on the show. The Thunder, one of the best teams against the spread on the road, 12-5. The Mavericks are 3-10 against the spread as a home favorite. They've just been a wonderful team to fade in this spot. If you're a trend better, if you have been backing both of those trends, make this game easy on yourself. Take 6.5 with OKC. I'll be honest with you, that number feels a little light with the way Dallas has been playing. I'm wondering if that number's come down a little bit because of the circumstances, okay? A lot of other good games on the board here tonight. You got the Bulls and the Pelicans. I'm sure a lot of people will be expecting big-time scoring there. Charlotte laying a point in Minnesota. Charlotte road favorites. Wow, the Timberwolves are terrible. Atlanta will do it again. The Raptors back out there with like 6 available players will be interesting as well. But Cam Stewart around the corner here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line right here on Sports Grid. And it is now time for us to turn our attention to the links. The Arnold Palmer Invitational is around the corner. And before we break this thing down with Cam Stewart, we want to throw it to our golf guy, Rick, who's got some thoughts on Mark Leishman.
If you're looking for a long shot, look no further than past champion Mark Leishman at 55-1. And this has been an interesting year for Mark Leishman, who after the tour came back last summer was statistically one of the worst players on the PGA Tour, and it wasn't even all that close. He was lost in nearly every facet of the game, and there were no signs of that turning around anytime soon. But as the calendar turned into 2021, Leishman has been much improved. We're seeing him continue in golf tournaments. We're seeing him assert himself on the first page or two of the leaderboard, and the metrics are much better. This is a guy who is now, over his last 30 or so rounds, one of the better approach players on the PGA Tour. He is still losing strokes off the tee, which does give me pause, but that iron game, that wedge game, is completely different than we saw just a couple of months ago from Mark Leishman. Now he gets to go back to Bay Hill, where he's already hoisted a trophy, has multiple other top 10 finishes, and that can really remember those great vibes that you have when you get to a place that you've had such success at. So this really does feel like a pretty decent convergence of recent form, or at least resurgent form, and course history for Mark Leishman at 55-1, which is statistically the section of the betting board that disproportionately produces winners. So think about that, and think about Mark Leishman for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational.
All right, great stuff there from Rick Gaiman. Does an excellent job breaking it down on golf betting on demand. Talking a little bit there about Mark Leishman. We'll expand more on that. But first, I want to bring my guy Cam Stewart into the fold. Cam, how are you, man, on a Wednesday morning?
I'm hanging in there, Kevin. You know what the best thing is? You know, we're doing these gambling shows. I know you're on different stations, and I'm bouncing all over everywhere. It's just something's never changed, though. You might find us on 204 on Sirius or on Sports Grid, but you will always find me coming second in a golf tournament. I had Mike Weir. I did everything, Kev. I bet the parlay last week. Ladies, Lydia Ko second. Mike Weir in the seniors repping the Canadian, leading going into the final round, second. And last week, Billy Horschel, 100-1, second. So, hey, the good news is when you're taking prices like that, you're getting paid, but a couple of those would be big bombs if they came in. But this week, Kev, it's a big tournament. The Arnold Palmer Invitational, this is Arnold's tournament. And they talk about Jack Nicklaus and Tiger. Well, Arnold is the top three when you're talking about golf hierarchy. Bay Hill is a very tough venue. Plays to par 72, close to about just over 7,400 yards. But this course, it is in Orlando, and it's if the winds pick up, oh my God, it becomes a train wreck. These guys start to look like we do out there, triple bogeys, quads. And let's remember, Tyrell Hatton last year won this tournament at -4. You don't see a PGA tournament won at -4, let alone a major for that matter. It played the lowest to par, hardest tournament of the year when the winds picked up. Also, the purse a little bit bigger this week, over $1.6 million. And if you win this tournament, you get 3 years exemption on the tour instead of 2. It's a big, big deal.
Wow, that is, man, that's incredible. And I think when you talk about the score to win, right, you compare that to some of these other tournaments, 15 under, 16 under, when you're then talking about, you know, if, you know, 5 under, maybe say 7 under if it's a little bit, you know, better.
Yep.
Who does that then typically favor, Cam, here when we look through the leaderboard?
Hate to say it, and Rick's right, like Mark Leishman, that's a great pick. I don't have him. He almost, like, he made it, like, I ranked these guys, and he was around the 7th or 8th guy in my list, and then I make my 6-pack or, you know, adjust with a bomb. But win players, Kev, win players. All these guys, okay, if the wind picks up, you have to have a low, boring ball flight, like something that penetrates through the wind. If you're one of those guys that hits high balls, oh, man, you could have a lot of problems. When that wind picks up, that thing's just going to drift. It's going to go nowhere, in water, somewhere weird. Last year, Tyrell Hatton. So think about this. Wind players, Aussies are very good wind players, as I've mentioned to you, and Europeans. Mm. Guys who've had success here. A lot of guys on the European Tour. Last year, Hatton, a Brit. Rory McIlroy, Northern Ireland, he's done well. Matthew Fitzpatrick, England, all these guys. So the last few years, Europeans, not Americans, have done well. There's some guys, like, you know, I'm going to take maybe a couple guys. Like, I think Billy Horschel, he's in good form right now. I wish we got better odds on him. Will Zalatoris might be able to play well this week, but all these people jumping on his bandwagon, he hasn't done much recently, so you're getting better odds. Mm. But win players, Kev, and Euros who play in worse conditions. A lot of American players, we get California, the sun, it's beautiful. These guys play in winds, rain, sleet. It's nasty in Scotland, Ireland, and England, right? It's a tough play to play golf, yeah, and they get used to it, and the tough conditions don't bother them as much.
So, Cam, I you mentioned Rory. He's the favorite, and I want to expand on that in a moment, but we don't have Dustin Johnson this week, right? And, you know, because Dustin Johnson, so regularly you see him there, you know, these 6-to-1 prices. I know you were, you know, you were telling me it's not quite prime Tiger, but he was clearly being priced head and shoulders above. And I do want to ask you a little bit. Last week, the opening round, this guy goes 5 over. Is it just a blip in the radar with DJ? Because, Cam, I remember, you know, sometime around last year, I remember Dustin Johnson was actually a fade for us. He seemingly was, you know, he was missing cut lines. And do you think that he is seeing a dip in form, or is it just a, you know, look, one bad tournament, nothing to get too concerned over?
It's a life situation, Kev, right? Some days your girlfriend calls you, ring, ring. Hey, Kev, I love your shows on Sports Grid, but you're working too much. Are you going to care about me and take me out tonight? And I'm like, okay, honey, well, you know, I got bills to pay, and that helps me take you. Dustin Johnson has a beautiful wife and a family right now, and I can tell you, it's family time. Sometimes these guys get out of their groove. Don't worry about him if this happens like 4 or 5 weeks in a row, but his form's too good right now, Kev. And I just think it's one of those things. A lot of these golfers are rich, and rich people don't mind having kids. And having kids, they want to spend time with the kids. So, and he's made enough money, he doesn't have to pull the old Sungjae Im Holiday Inn routine where every week he's living out of a suitcase, right? So Dustin Johnson's like, I could take a couple weeks off. Don't worry about it. And sometimes when he comes back, he's not working on his game. And golf is a sport where you got to continually just keep on working on something, because every week it seems like if your driver's working, your putter goes bad or your wedge goes bad. And you know what I mean? It's it's really hard to put the whole package together.
I want to ask you about a couple more guys here at the top, and then we'll get the 6-pack. Rory, though, is the favorite at plus 850. It feels like it's been a while, Cam, since I've seen Rory as a pre-tournament favorite. Do you, even if, and I know that the odds are probably not juicy enough for you, but do you still think he's worthy of that spot there at plus 850?
You know what, Kev? I'd actually say, like, Hatton's 18-to-1 on FanDuel. I think Rory has a great chance to win this tournament. He has a great track record here. He's been very close. He comes out of the gate usually with not a best round. He's got to start well early. Like, you can't have these plus threes and grind over the weekend for a top five. You got to find a way to play par golf, hang around for a while, and then you could attack on the weekend. The putter's been a little bit better. His driving is immaculate. Nobody drives it straighter or farther than him other than maybe Justin Thomas. DeChambeau plays Army golf, right, left, right, left, right, left. He's a guy like, and I'm looking at matchup bets in FanDuel. DeChambeau has a good track record here, but his form with the driver, I think you'd be insane not to play Rory in a matchup bet against him, and I did.
So, all right, I wanted to ask you about DeChambeau, okay? If I would have told you right before Augusta last year, hey, just so you know, in a couple of months, Victor Hovland's going to have better odds to win a golf tournament than Bryson DeChambeau. No way. I can't imagine people would have believed that with where the track that guy was on. What is the deal with DeChambeau right now? Is he in his head? I was talking to the guy Dubs Anderson, who's doing some golf stuff here on the network, and nice he said that, you know, DeChambeau's talking about, he is, and he knows his stuff. He got a lot of nicknames too, which I don't mind. But DeChambeau, you know, is talking about maybe losing weight now and changing his approach. What is the deal with Bryson?
Bryson DeChambeau needs to put the calculator down in the computer and just live life a little bit. I understand people like their saber metrics. They like numbers to crunch it down. But this guy's all in his head, and he's screwing himself up. Oh, I gained weight to do this. Yeah, when you gain weight, you have a bigger body frame, and now the ball is different. So he's a big science guy. But right now, the science is killing him. When he was coming out of school, he was a little bit leaner. I'm not saying lose tons of weight, but a little bit. Just find your swing. You don't need to pack on the pounds. And right now, you're driving it all over the place. I don't care if you're one of the stronger guys in the tree. You're not going to win a golf tournament. So figure out your damn driver. Stop worrying so much about, you know, these calculations. Just relax. I get it. People are different type of thinkers, but he's in his head. I agree with Dubs. And I think until he figures out that driver, Kev, and finds a way to hit it straight, I'm fading this guy.
Yeah. I love it. All right, let's do it, Cam. Six-pack here. Who are we looking at? Arnold Palmer Invitational.
We're looking at, I usually don't do this, Kev, back-to-back champions on FanDuel. You got to give me Ricky Hatton at 18-1. I think he has the perfect type of game. He loves the Bermuda grass, and he also loves playing in tougher conditions. He's more of a hockey football player mentality than a golfer. He wants things to get sloppy and stupid, and I like that. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 22-1. Watch out for this kid. He's lingering on the board every single week. I wish we were getting more, but the books aren't stupid. I used to get this guy at 35-40. You're not going to get that price anymore. Francisco Molinari, Kev, he was 33-1. Great player, better form, and he's done here well. But like, he's done well here. He can plot around, and he's good. He doesn't hit it a mile, but he keeps it in play. My boy Billy Horschel, I got him at 100 this week, 38. But Florida Gators loves playing in Florida. It's an Orlando tournament. Jason Kokrak, oh boy, my boy Jason Kokrak with the mini punch. Watch out for him at 45-1. Kokrak's a killer, and if he's in a duel on Sunday, he'll relish that. This guy actually likes beating the best in the world. And if you're looking for a long shot, Andrew Putnam, 180-1, Putnam blowing it up, played well in Puerto Rico last week. Great prices, over 5-1 on a top 20. So watch out for Andrew Putnam, a sneaky, sneaky play at 180-1 on FanDuel. That's a great number.
I love that. You know what, Cam, quickly, with the golf, I wanted to get your thoughts, and I know we're a little bit removed from it, but the Tiger Woods situation, the car accident, it was very scary for some. I'm just kind of, you know, curious for you now, removed from that situation, kind of your thoughts around Tiger. We saw all those guys wearing the red on Sunday, Colin Morikawa winning that tournament, you know, and kind of hitting some benchmarks, youngest player to do this since Tiger, youngest player to do this since Tiger. Just kind of your overall thoughts on that situation.
Yeah, and Morikawa, you think he would have got golf? Like, all these guys can thank Tiger. He's an Asian-American who played in California. Tiger played at Stanford. He played at Cal. I like what the guys did. As for Tiger Woods' career, I'll tell you something, buddy. It's going to be interesting, you know, with all the surgeries in the back. And Tiger Woods isn't the type of guy to join the senior tour and go, hey, Bernard Langer, I'm going to beat you down this week. Ernie Els, Phil. Like, you know what I mean? He's got a family now. And you could tell his commitments, like he was meeting Drew Brees before the accident. I wouldn't be surprised if movies and, you know, media and all these other things are there for Tiger. He still will be able to compete, Kev, at Augusta because he can play that course blindfolded. But I will say this, with the injuries, this could be like, kind of like Tiger Woods' swan song. I think kind of we'll see him in a couple big tournaments. He'll be an ambassador. I know he has a lot of charities. He wants to get African-Americans into golf more, and that's what he'll focus on. But, yeah, what can you say about Tiger Woods, man? He put money in these guys' pockets, and they respect him big time. He grew the game. Without Tiger Woods, these purses are half of what they are.
Yeah, no, and you could tell that with the players. You know, they were emotional. We saw Justin Thomas. You know, Morikawa was a little teary-eyed after winning the workday. So I thought that was great. Cam, quickly, you know, 10 seconds here. Favorite play on the hockey board?
Favorite play on the hockey board, I would look at the Boston Bruins tonight, and I like the Colorado Avalanche in regulation, a revenge spot. They didn't show up against SJ Sharkey last time. They will come out and kill the Sharks tonight, probably the over as well.
Love it, love it, love it. Cam, you're the man, the absolute best. Check him out on Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morenci. Always there doing the job. We'll be right back. More Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. Final segment of the day here on The Early Line. Kevin Walsh, Cam Stewart's going to stick around with us. Erin Dolan, unfortunately, couldn't get things back up and running, but she did a great job today. She'll be back here, no doubt about it, tomorrow as we'll get ready to break down everything. And one of the games that we'll be talking about tomorrow, Cam, is going to be this Raptors-Pistons game, and I wanted to make sure I gave it a little bit more time before we closed up shop. Toronto is laying 7.5 to Detroit Pistons, which typically would be, yep, sure, that's what you expect. Detroit's terrible. No Fred VanVleet. No Pascal Siakam. No Giannobi as the Raptors get back underway after their own COVID outbreak here. I cannot believe that this is the number that they're laying when you consider the delay and the players that's going to be missing for Toronto.
You know what, though, Kev? The more I think about this, I kind of like the Raptors more and more. Remember they had that game against Houston where they were huge favorites and they pulled away? It's just because this is an opportunity. Like, this is the Norm Powell game. You take Norm, if FanDuel offers, like, you know, point stuff, this has got a Norm Powell 28-point game, like, written all over it. That's the thing. You know. Like, I admit it, the stars are big in Detroit. They can be gritty. They have a couple ex-Raptors and the ex-coach Casey. But come on, buddy. That's the one thing. They're a better team. And books don't put out these lines for a reason. It looks like they're really trying to put the hook on some Detroit money. I'd be very, very careful. I think this line might come down a bit, and then maybe I come to the Raptors. But I will say this. The depth of this team, somebody will step up even without the big guys there. It always seems to, Kev.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the book is up to no good on this game. There are player props available. There's no Pistons props available, but they're like, hey, no. You want Norman Powell? It's 22.5. Hey, what do you think about Kyle Lowry? That's 22.5 as well. Like, you're 100% right. You know, they're up to no good. Kev, here's the last thing I'll ask you. The Lakers are +4 tonight against the Kings. You think Sacramento rolls them or no LeBron in that game? That's obviously the big caveat. But the Lakers as a dog.
It's the Kings or nothing, Kev. I was on the Suns last night. Sorry, buddy. I just can't bet these guys right now. It's unbelievable. They're thinking about the big picture. Let's call it out for what it is. Get AD healthy and make a run. Yep.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, guys. Cam, thanks for jumping in with us. That'll do
it for the
Early Line. The Morning After is up next right here on Sports Grid. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.